The State Assembly is expected to pass right-to-work legislation this week and send the measure to the governor's desk. Governor Walker, who had previously said this wasn't a priority right now and called it a distraction, now says the time is right for right-to-work and he will sign the bill. We will get two different takes on right-to-work. During this hour, the Right to Work bill went before the Assembly's Committee on Labor yesterday for a public hearing. It will be debated by the full Assembly on Thursday. First, we will hear from one of the authors of the bill, and then after 7:30, a lobbyist who is against the bill. It might be interesting to note that our Right to Work opponent is also a former Republican lawmaker. Former Assembly Speaker John Gard will be joining us after 7:30. We will welcome your questions and views for both of them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. We are happy to have with us Dan Knodel, a Republican state representative from Germantown, the Assistant Assembly Majority Leader, a member of the Assembly Committee on Labor, and one of the authors of the Right to Work bill. Good morning.
Morning, Joe. Very good to be with you.
Thank you very much for joining us. Well, I know that the public hearing was scheduled to go until, I think, 8 o'clock last night, but you went longer than that.
We went to about 10. Everybody who had signed up to speak was able to do so, followed by the number of the Democratic legislators also had an opportunity to speak.
And you heard mostly people speaking against it, or what?
The numbers for and against certainly were more heavily towards against the proposed legislation.
And that doesn't surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me as far as the numbers that were there in Madison. We also, of course, have to listen to our constituents back home and in our district, and I've certainly heard from both sides. In that regard, we do have had an online survey up, and we've received about 2,000 responses in favor of the legislation on that survey.
Mm-hmm. The committee then did not vote on the bill before forwarding it on to the full assembly. How come?
No, the committee, the process is that there's not a vote necessary since this is already voted on and be messaged over from the state senate. So we had our hearing and took that testimony, and then we're able to move forward from there.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us why you are one of the authors of the Right to Work bill. Why does Wisconsin need Right to Work?
Well, I think we're responding to our new to market forces. When we look at competing in the marketplace, not only with our neighboring states but really globally, we have to set an environment that we can retain and attract new businesses and the workers for those businesses. And we found in the work environment, the new workforce are more mobile. They're people who are very assertive, and they're confident that that they are able to advance themselves and their careers without with union representation. And this bill simply gives them that choice. They can either be represented by joining the union or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot of debate over whether a right-to-work law will really result in more jobs in Wisconsin. What evidence is there that do you have that makes you think that this will help us attract more jobs?
We hear a few things. We've seen that right-to-work states are outperforming union states in employment growth. So we think that that's positive for attracting good family-supporting jobs here. Wage growth is rising faster when we adjust for inflationary pressures. And those are things that we need to be in the marketplace with when we're competing for these businesses. And really, we want to focus on the businesses that are here, that they stay and expand here and don't look to move out of the state.
But then there's a research by a Marquette University economics professor that shows it's not so much a right-to-work law that creates a more business-friendly environment, but a package of various and other pro-business policies. How much of a difference do you think right-to-work really makes?
Well, there's going to be studies that are going to be one way or another, depending on the inputs that you collect. The Marquette study, I was a little curious about some of the states where you gather information. And when you do a study, if you select information as an input, you can kind of dictate the output. And so, you know, studies can go one way or another. We've heard from site selectors for businesses that if they're looking to select a site, they will generally look to the right-to-work states first. Mm-hmm. And we want to be in that mix of states to look at for opportunity to build a business.
Andy on Facebook says, I'm still trying to figure out how the GOP says on one hand the government needs to stay out of the way of private business, but right-to-work is government getting involved in the affairs of private business. Why should it be the government's job to tell a private business what type of contract it can negotiate with a union?
Well, and we would not be doing that. We would simply, this is going strictly to the worker, to have the choice whether they'd like to be represented by a union or not. So they still have that opportunity. The businesses still have the opportunity to enter into a contract with a union. So none of those things go away. We're not entering into that equation at all. This is promoting personal freedom and leaving it up to that individual worker whether they feel there's a benefit or a value by being represented by the union. And we heard a good number of stories yesterday that there's people that did see that value and felt the benefit. Some of them had 30-plus years with on the same job, with the same company. They felt the union helped them advance and earn a good wage. And also have that opportunity.
Okay. What's your response to critics who say that you and other supporters of Right to Work really aren't doing this for worker freedom reasons? You're doing this so businesses eventually could have lower labor costs and to weaken unions.
Well, again, it goes back to, as I mentioned earlier, is the competition. We're competing with our neighboring states. We're competing globally. Businesses still will want to have a high-quality workforce. They've got to put out a good product. And I look at the manufacturing sector in the past years. A lot of manufacturing went offshore, overseas. And manufacturers found, though, that a lot of those products that were shipped back weren't high quality enough. So they're bringing that work back, but they're going to need that skilled workforce to produce a product. They don't want to have to do a run twice. They want to do a job once and put out a good product. And this, if there again is a union value by providing those trained workers, and I think there is, the business and the individual can pick to go enter in a union contract.
Yeah. Address, please, the concern of some that that this is being taken up now. Oh, let's put it this way. Democrats have suggested that this is an issue that will take pressure off of Governor Walker's proposed budget, that this now is a distraction. What do you say to that?
Well, this is being, as you saw, the state Senate brought it forward, Senator Fitzgerald, and I give him a lot of credit for bringing it forward because he brought it up in the election season last year. That it was certainly on his radar screen and something to take on. In my 6 years in the state assembly, I've had this discussion in my district for that whole time. So it's a matter of whenever these things line up. Senator Fitzgerald mentioned when you have the votes, then that's the time to bring it forward.
Yeah. And how many workers does this affect? Isn't the unionized workforce in Wisconsin under 10%?
Yeah, those are some of the numbers that we're seeing. Again, this doesn't go to the numbers in the union. It goes to that personal freedom of that individual, whether they feel they would like to be part of that union or see a value there, or they want to be represented by the union. If they have the confidence that they're comfortable in representing themselves, that may be the way they want to go.
We are going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will take more of your questions and views on right to work for one of the authors of the right to work bill that is currently in the state assembly. Dan Knodel, Republican state representative from Germantown, the assistant assembly majority leader, also a member on the Assembly Committee on Labor, which held a public hearing on the right to work bill yesterday that went into last night. The full assembly takes this up on Thursday. So what do you think of right to work in Wisconsin? Is it right or wrong for Wisconsin? What questions do you have? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This hour, we are getting two takes on right to work. First, we are talking with a supporter of right to work, one of the authors of the right to work bill that is currently in the state assembly. Coming up after 7:30, we will talk with someone who opposes right to work, who also happens to be a former Republican state lawmaker. Right now, we are talking with Dan Knodel. He is the assistant assembly majority leader, a Republican state representative from Germantown, member of the Assembly Committee on Labor. If you have a question, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you want this right to work bill to become a right-to-work law in the state of Wisconsin? Scott in Whitewater is with us now. Hello, Scott.
Thank you. Forgive my screener. I'm kind of changing my question for your guest. A couple points.
I'm sorry, Scott. What is your main question, not a couple points?
Oh, Diane Hendricks wrote a check for $1.5 million to the Wisconsin Republican Party and to Scott Walker and ask for a right-to-work bill. The citizens did not ask for this. Why do people just get to write giant checks and you guys lockstep, goose-step to these bills, and you did not? Did you author the bill or cut and paste it from Alex?
Yeah, all right. Thanks very much, Scott. And the reason listeners who are hearing me right now limit Scott to one point, we want to get on as many callers as possible, not have somebody make a big, long speech. So we actually do have another caller who also wondered, this is ALEC legislation, and this is, did you, you know, really author the bill? And isn't this something that conservatives across the nation are trying to implement?
This is modeled after the Michigan model legislation. It could be similar to ALEC modeled legislation. And the right to work is very simple. That it gives the workers the freedom to decide whether they want to join the union or be represented by the union or not. So a very simple 3-page bill. And it comes forward to our assembly org committee. And so it doesn't have specific names on it in that process, but I've chosen and willing to be one of the lead.
Yeah. Well, address why businesses and people like Diane Hendricks want workers to have this freedom to join a union or not.
Well, that really, I believe it's a fundamental right in our country to have those freedoms. A lot of the things we do in the legislature is impose more regulation, more mandates upon people, and I'm very careful about sponsoring or leading on those type of bills. This is quite the opposite. This promotes work, gives the individual more freedom to make their decisions. And they certainly may choose to join the union, be represented by the union, if they feel there's a value there. The business can enter into their contract with the union. They may have a portion of their workforce is unionized, a portion may be not, and this would allow for all of that.
Yeah, let's go to Barbara in Iron River next. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, I'm against making Wisconsin a right-to-work state. I believe the workers will be giving up more than they will be getting. And in response to the previous caller, When someone says that you're going to have more freedom, and it's kind of like a political point, and it's hiding the truth. So most people are uneducated and not knowledgeable about what is best for them. And when the government was trying to take away people's paychecks, and the right to work means that essentially they will be living a lower standard of living in a government that, or in a culture that it's more and more expensive to live every year to raise a family. So it does not seem like it doesn't make good sense. I wouldn't trust what the legislators are saying about the right to work.
All right, so our caller believes this is going to lead to a lower standard of living for most workers, and maybe some of those workers don't really realize this.
Well, we've seen faster wage growth in the right to work states, so we think that's a positive. This doesn't cancel out any existing contracts that are in place. So those all remain in force, and then the business and the union would negotiate and see if they're going to go forward with another contract. Those workers would have the option to vote to be part of that union or not. We've seen some people, again, we hear that you can opt out, and you can opt out, but however, then you're still required to pay what's called the a fair wage or fair pay. And that still puts you under the contract, and you're represented by the union in that regard. So you may not be officially part of the union, but you're bound by that contract and union representation. And here again, we have industrious people that would prefer not to be bound by those restraints.
Yeah. And I know there are different studies showing different things, and there can be cherry-picking going on, but Representative Knodel, what about when you say that states that have right to work have higher wages? Critics point out that's because the salaries of CEOs are included in those numbers, and it's not the workers' wages.
Well, I guess depending on what study you're looking at, we have to adjust for cost of living, which is different in different states. And but we're seeing the job growth as well. And with more job growth, that's more workers that are also available to join the union. And we've seen some union growth in states recently, too. So they see that value, and I think there's a lot of these unions that that have a value, especially when it comes to training and safety in the workplace, that people will see that value and want to be part of that. And then the business sees that value, too, in hiring well-trained workers.
And some of that job growth, though, critics point out, like in maybe Indiana and Michigan, the latest states to do this, is because it's post-recession, post-Great Recession, and everybody's economy grew.
Well, the economy is improving, slow but sure. A recent study ranked Wisconsin second in the nation for in-state job creation, and we want to continue that that trend. And having the right to work option, we think will bring in some capital and some investment to the state that may not be here now.
Doug in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Doug.
Good morning, and thank you. My question is, and maybe this would be more posted for the gentleman who's going to be on after the half-hour break, but there's 24 states currently in the nation that have right to work. Wisconsin will be the 25th. Right to work has been around since the late 40s, early 50s at the state level. My question is very simple. If right to work is going to lower wages, if it's going to increase worker injuries, if it's going to do all the things that the opponents are saying it's going to do, why over 70 years haven't any state repealed right to work? Isn't that an argument that right to work must work as a concept?
Well, we'll ask that of John Gard, but Representative Knodel, your thoughts on that?
Well, we think in our current economy and in our global competition for jobs, that the timing is right for us to do it here in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Ryan on Facebook says, your guest said three times now it's about if a worker wants union representation or not. This isn't what this bill is about. The union will still have to represent the worker if the worker pays dues or not.
Well, that's the way it currently is. And however, that would not be the case. You know, this bill goes through and that individual chooses not to be part of that collective bargaining contract, then the union would not have to represent that particular individual. Now they do. But that's a decision that was made between the union and the business, that whether that individual is in the union or has opted out, the union has made the agreement to represent them. And that's the part that would change.
Yeah. Well, let me have you, as we close with you, respond to the opposition that's coming from some businesses that have unions and that are being represented by former Republican state lawmaker John Gard, who they formed to stop Right to Work. What do you have to say to those businesses and those unions who don't want Right to Work?
Well, I think it begins with change is always somewhat uncomfortable, and they are familiar and comfortable with the system that is in place now. And they're doing business with the unions, and the unions are often the pipeline for trained workers, and that should continue. That's the great value of many unions, that they really, really are the best place to go to get the training and skills needed. And so these businesses will still want to keep that relationship. And I think that's the greatest thing that the unions can offer, is really those training programs, and to be that pipeline for the future workers here in the state and for the jobs that are available.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Dan Knodel, Republican State Representative from Germantown, the Assistant Assembly Majority Leader, a member of the Assembly Committee on Labor, and one of the authors of the Right to Work bill. We'll get another perspective on this in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. The Assembly's Committee on Labor yesterday held a public hearing on the Right to Work bill that is moving briskly through the state legislature. We just spoke with a proponent of the Right to Work bill. Now we will talk with an opponent to the bill. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will also welcome your questions and your views for our next guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. The full State Assembly is expected to take up the Right to Work bill on Thursday. And it is expected to pass the measure, sending it to Governor Walker's desk, where the governor is expected to sign it. John Gard is our next guest, spokesperson for Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now, which backs the expansion of transportation and energy infrastructure. He is also a lobbyist for the Operating Engineers Local 139 Union, a former Republican state lawmaker from Peshtigo. He is the former Assembly Speaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for being with us. So tell us why you oppose this Right to Work bill that's in the Assembly.
Well, you know, we believe it's a unnecessary and harmful intrusion by the government into a private sector contract between private employers and private employees. And, you know, I spend a lot of my time working with the operating engineers and the trades, and we have a very unique and very strong partnership between employer, employee in this state. The trades provide skilled workers. They do the training. The workers pay for the training themselves. And it has really made Wisconsin a state that consistently, in effect, We build great things here, but we also export a lot of our skilled trades to other states to do work there, and the money returns back to Wisconsin. We think this proposal, while targeted at some businesses, I think it is going to have a harmful effect on that strong tradition and relationship in Wisconsin.
React, if you will, to Representative Knodel's closing statement when I asked him what words he might have for you and those who oppose right to work. And he said, well, change is difficult. But he said unions will still have a role in the future in training workers and providing those skilled workers, and that's not going to change. What's your response to that?
I think that's wishful thinking, and I hope, Representative Knoll does a great job and, has a lot of experience himself in the private sector. The situation, just look in America today. If you tell somebody they can have something for free versus they have to pay for it, a number of people will take it for free. And in the situation with the unions, they're forced to represent workers, and whether they pay dues or not. And we believe, in a very complicated and sometimes dangerous environment where people are working on very significant, large pieces of equipment that require everybody next to each other to have each other's back. If you've got, 10 guys working and you are disrupting the chemistry of that environment, and you're changing some of the training and changing some of the just the day-to-day work atmosphere there, I think you certainly impact that specific environment, but you also dramatically change the relationship between employer and employee. And I think that creates a certain level of uncertainty and instability that, we just take a step back and go, wait a second, what did these guys do wrong? They pay for their own training, they pay for their own health care, they pay for their own pension. They advance their skills all the time. They have a great relationship with their employers. They spend days and days and days away from their families, working at night under the lights on the highways or on big construction. When do they become part of the problem with the state's economy? I think a lot of those guys are left scratching their heads, going, "What did I do wrong?"
Yeah, Republicans overwhelmingly support right to work in the state legislature. How is it that you, a former Assembly Speaker, a former Republican state representative, are against your party on this issue?
Well, I think there's a lot of Republicans that are concerned about it, too. I mean, I think, 93% of the people in the private sector don't belong to a union, so it's not going to impact a lot of those folks. I think with the trades, though, a lot of those guys are Republican, and certainly a lot of the contractors, part of the contractor coalition, 433 great Wisconsin businesses have stood up, put their name on the line, and said, we oppose right to work. And I think that is no small miracle, to be honest, to get those people to go out in such a polarized environment to step up and say, wait a second, we've got a great relationship with our employees. It strengthens our business. It strengthens our economic model. We do a lot of work in a lot of places, and we rely on being partners with these folks who can run very skilled operations. And by the way, it's hard enough to find people motivated to come and do this work. Let's not try and do things that actually dampen their motivation to come and do these skilled jobs, because it is hard to find these people to do this work. So, we think it's not a Republican-Democrat issue. I certainly don't believe that. I have always believed the trades are a unique model, and I think, as a Republican, I want the folks in the trades to be voting Republican. And I think a lot of them have, and I think they are sitting back going, like I said, when did we become the problem in the state's economy? We've got 70,000 unfilled jobs in the state of Wisconsin. We should be focusing on those things and not on going after the people who are actually getting up before sun breaks and going to work every day.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then to your questions for John Gard, spokesperson for Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about right to work in Wisconsin. The State Assembly is expected to take up the right to work bill on Thursday. We are talking with someone who opposes right to work. He is former Assembly Speaker John Gard. He's discussing his opposition to right to work and why he says it it could lead to fewer jobs. And we're welcoming any questions or thoughts you may have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. John Gard is a spokesperson for Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now, and he's also a lobbyist for the Operating Engineers Local 139 Union, and as mentioned, a former Republican state lawmaker and former Assembly Speaker. Our lines are full, so let's go to Randy in Keewaskum. Hello, Randy. I'm sorry, Randy, I didn't have your so-called microphone on. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I mean, this bill won't hurt unions if they have something to offer. All this is doing is giving people the option as to whether they want to join the union or not. Right now, if the unions can get enough people to sign on to it, everybody else is forced to join no matter what. And, I mean, you want to talk about useless people. If you got somebody useless and they've been in the union 20 years, they can't be touched. The best guy in the whole place could get fired if he was the last guy hired, which is complete garbage. But that's all the unions worry about, is how much time people have in the unions and how much money they can soak out of them. Unions have lost a lot of what they had in the 30s. It's more like the 60s where they were involved with organized crime. They've gotten, basically, they've gotten jaded and they're out for themselves and not the union members.
All right, Randy, so if the union offers something worthwhile, people will continue to pay their dues, John Gard, according to Randy, and right now unions just protect deadwood, apparently, is his view. Your thoughts on that?
Well, in the trades, there is no seniority, and, you know, if you're running a piece of heavy equipment, building a bridge over a, you know, a river or a lake or, you know, some very sensitive area, the employer and all the employees want to make sure they have the highest skilled, best person available running that equipment. So there is certainly, I think it's fair to say in the past, and maybe in some of the manufacturing situations in that, the way Randy described it, there can be some protection of more senior members and things. That is not today's trades in Wisconsin or in the United States. If an employer says, you know, this person isn't working, the next day they send somebody else. If you want to survive today in the world of construction and building, you know, multi-million dollar projects, you have got to be on top of your skills, which is why these guys vote to take money out of their own paycheck to pay for their own training. The operating engineers have a world-class training facility up in Coloma. The carpenters have a couple across the state of Wisconsin, the pipe trade, the same thing. They understand that they're only going to be able to work if they can stay on top of their skills. And I think most people are shocked when they realize the aggressive nature of the training, the aggressive nature of staying competitive and trying to earn a good living for the people in the skilled trades in Wisconsin. I think that partnership with those unions is so much different than the impression some people have that I think they'd be surprised if they actually took the time to understand it.
So what about, though, the argument if the union offers something for the worker, that worker is going to gladly pay the dues?
Well, we're certainly hoping that our skilled trades in Wisconsin will flourish. It's going to be different. I mean, we can all dream and hope that things continue and that we don't disrupt the workplace environment and don't disrupt the ability for our contractors in Wisconsin to find skilled workers. But let's take a step back and look at society around us. If you get the same benefit for the person standing next to you and you don't have to pay for it, don't you believe that there's going to be a certain number of people say, wait a second, I get the same thing the guy next to me gets and I can get it free? A certain number of people are going to say, sign me up for the free part. And that's just sort of human nature sometimes. And under federal law, the trades are required to defend that person and represent that person for all those benefits. So then I come back and I go, these guys vote to take money out of their own paycheck for training, out of their own paycheck for pension, out of their own paycheck for health care, and they don't ask the taxpayers for one nickel. They drug test themselves so that they can go out to their employer and prove that if I'm going to get on a big crane, I am totally prepared to do it. I'm not using drugs, any of that kind of stuff. It is a very critical environment there, and these guys are doing it themselves. And I think that's something that we should be celebrating, not trying to certainly dramatically change.
Cole in Watertown is with us. Hello, Cole.
Hi, Joy. So my comment will be very brief because it's kind of been addressed now several times, but I wanted to point out what your guest was just speaking of, the federal law that specifies that unions still have to provide those services. It's called the Hartley-Taft Act of 1947, and I wanted to stay on and make that comment because I really wish that people would go and look it up and read it for themselves, because the focus of this seems to be, you know, it gives people the choice to join or not join a union when that choice already exists, and what it really is not requiring them to pay dues, and that's how this is bad for unions and how it's going to drain the resources. So I just wanted to point that out again, the Hartley-Taft Act of 1947. For anybody that wants to go look it up, that is a law that says that they still have to give that legal representation.
Yeah, thanks very much. John Gard, why do you think this is such a priority with the Republican-controlled legislature right now? They are saying it's for worker freedom reasons, and perhaps also it might lead to more businesses opening up shop in Wisconsin and creating more jobs. If you don't think either of those are really the result, why do you think this is such a priority in the legislature right now?
Well, I think friends can have different points of view, and I certainly understand. I mean, I think that there is some folks who believe in the manufacturing situation, that there is some point that you could make that with the way the country is going and some of the direction other states are going, that there needs to be some people have convinced themselves that right to work is going to make us more attractive. I will say this on wages. If it's a race to the bottom on wages to make yourself most competitive, we are never going to beat Mexico. Okay, it's just not going to happen. And when you look at the number of larger American and Wisconsin corporations who send part of their work to Mexico or overseas for wages, and some of that was a conversation that occurred last year in the governor's race, we can't compete with that. On the flip side, I do think you want to make yourself as competitive as possible. And I do think there are some work rules and other things that can frustrate employers in the manufacturing situation. With trades, though, if you're a contractor and you win a contract in Milwaukee and you're going to do another project in La Crosse and you're up in Wausau, you're calling the union hall saying, I need 10 crane operators in Milwaukee tomorrow, I need 13 in La Crosse next week, and I need, you know, 20 up in Wausau. That is an incredible partnership. I think people still have this mindset, well, we're going to go down and find what guys are, you know, playing cards on the union hall. That's not what works. That's not how it works. Right now, if you drive up to Coloma and you see these guys on big equipment training themselves every day out of their own paycheck to get ready for when the construction season starts back up, these guys, the partnership is the companies rely on the pipe trades and the electrical guys and the carpenters and the operating engineers to provide them skilled work. And if they get to a site, and let's say they're going to go build a project in Iowa where there is virtually no training that exists in any meaningful format, many contractors have said when they go do work in Iowa, a right-to-work state, the people that they get that they win the bid from say, but you've got to bring a big percentage of your workforce from Wisconsin because those guys know how to get work done ahead of schedule and under budget. And that's something I believe very strongly in. I think these people earn their living. They don't make a living. They earn a living. And I think that's something that we should be promoting, not trying to significantly alter.
I think Joe and Marinette was going to bring up that point. Joe?
That's correct. I know right now at least 400 to 500 people that these large contractors take out of Wisconsin to go to right-to-work states because they can't get qualified people. I'm a union pipefitter myself, and I just turned down going to Arkansas, you know, because they don't have qualified people in these right-to-work states because they don't have no training programs. And that's what these Republicans don't want to understand.
Yeah, well, anything further on that, John Gard?
No, I do think
one of the things that you got to take a step back and, okay, if you're a guy that's going to leave your family on Monday morning or Sunday night to go to a work site for 5 days and stay away and not go to your kid's soccer game or your school or kid's after school stuff, and you're going to go work on the road under the lights in the middle of the night when everybody else is sleeping, if you're doing those kinds of things, there is a certain balance with that. And if you are going to have a dramatically changed work environment where people are trying to ultimately suppress wages or do things like that, you are going to be less willing to do those kinds of things. It is just sort of a reality of the marketplace. And what I think the trades have done in Wisconsin have really tried to say, hey, we're in the 21st century. We're working forward. We're trying to do a lot of things to make ourselves the most competitive guys in the country. And I think it's probably been hard in this conversation for a number of my Republican friends to be they know the difference here with the trades. And I think it's been one of the parts of this whole conversation that has been hard for people to try and get their head around.
We have less than a minute to go, John Gard. Are you still hoping for some sort of possible exemption for the trade unions then with right-to-work legislation?
Hey, it's Lent. I never give up hope. But we're going to, you know, I think it's unlikely, but I certainly think a strong case could be made.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
John Gard, spokesperson for Wisconsin Infrastructure Investment Now, lobbyist for the Operating Engineers Local 139 Union, also a former Republican state lawmaker. Thank you to Bill Martins, to Kayla Blado, and to Christy Taylor. They produce and direct this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.